how does efficiency differ from effectiveness in our leadership efforts? Well, obviously, we need both to be optimally successful. However, we sometimes confuse the two. On this side, Stephen demonstrates the problems we create when people are seen as things to be managed and manipulated through an efficiency paradigm.
In management, you focus on efficiency. In leadership, you focus on effectiveness. In management, you focus on control. In leadership, you focus on release. See, in management, you focus on things. In leadership, you focus upon people. Let me try to do a role play. I'll try to alter my voice so you can get a sense of the different roles that are involved. Oh, you wanted to see me, son? I can't believe my boy. I'm walking out the door, and he grabs me at the door and says he wants to see me. He wants to see me now. I mean, I've been around the home for about 2 hours. He sees the phone calls I've been getting. He sees I'm running to the office. And then all of a sudden, he wants to see me now. I can't believe this. You see, I'm talking to my alter ego. I'll continue with my alter ego. But wait a minute. Wait a minute, Stephen. Remember what's truly important to you. Remember what is important to your boy must become as important to you as your boy is to you. Remember your mission statement. Remember that no one on their deathbed ever wished they'd spent more time at the office. Think carefully. Go back. You bet, son. Happy to visit with you. What's the problem? Oh, I don't know, Dad. I just got so many problems, and I just want to talk about them. Well, what is it, son? Well, I don't know if I'm in the right major. I can't believe this kid. He wants to talk about whether he's in the right major. How insensitive. I mean, I only have about 3 or 4 minutes max. I got to run down to the office. I can't be late. I'll be efficient. That's the key. I'll be efficient. I'll practice a little listening so he has a sense of therapy, and then I'll lay out the answer real fast. And then he'll feel like I've met his need, and I've also met the need of my business. That's called efficiency. I've got to manage this thing. You bet, son, I'm happy to talk to you about that. What has caused that? I don't know, Dad. I took this test in math, you know, and I did poorly on it, and I noticed the whole engineering curriculum is based upon math, and all my friends, a lot of them have withdrawn. This kid just keeps talking on and on. I can't believe this. He's just endlessly talking. How can I get this kid to shut? I've got to make my point. He's already used his 2 minutes, and he just keeps talking. I'm not interested in all those things. I want to get to what's really relevant. I don't know, Dad. It just seems, you know, Tom, he changed to another. Oh, I've got to interrupt this kid because I'm going to really be late. I am getting so frustrated. Wait a minute now. Remember, this is important. At least pretend to listen. Yeah. I see what you mean, son. Yeah. Excuse me, son. Let me see if I can give you a little help. I've gone through kind of a similar situation. You see, one of the most efficient things is to read your home movie into other people's lives. I went through the same thing when I was growing up, and I remember visiting with my father, just about the same issue that you brought to me. In fact, he told me about his visit with his father. So what I'm going to share with you, son, is intergenerational wisdom. You know what I mean? I mean, real pearls. Now, you may want to take notes because they're going to come in the form of bullets, son. The key to life, son, write it down, underscore it, circle it, asterisk it, never forget it. Suck it up. Hunker down and make it happen. You like that, boy? Oh, yeah, Dad, that's just beautiful. That's just wonderful. Oh, boy, did I do the job then. The whole thing lasted 4 minutes max. It was 1 minute over what I anticipated initially, but, you know, he's worth it. You ever tried to be efficient with one of your children? You ever tried to be efficient with your spouse on a jugular issue? You ever tried to be efficient in doing team building between two warring departments on jugular issues? The son totally reeling from the whole situation. No understanding of what the full nature of the problem or the issues are at all. But quick, autobiographical reading home movies, rushing in. Let me tell you, my experience, I agree, I disagree, see? It's efficient. In fact, take today. Take anything that involves training and development. What is that called on the accounting sheet? Yeah.
Overhead.
Yeah. It's an expense. It's an overhead. Isn't that an interesting paradigm? People development is an overhead. Now buy a big machine. What's that called?
Capital investment.
Isn't that interesting? How the accounting paradigm, which says nothing about people, which only deals with things, money, physical things, see? Costs, revenues, and it's considered an investment. But people are things. People are expenses. Is there any wonder why the short-term, hard data approach tends to push out long-term, so-called soft data? And if your only information system that is really respected is financial accounting, and I'm not against it, it's necessary, but it's an incomplete information system because it does not deal with people. It doesn't even claim to. It might record their activities, it might record their costs, but it says nothing about their hearts and minds, their power, their capacities at all. Well, how do we build our reward systems? On information. And if your information deals with things, what are the reward systems going to reward? Short term, hard data. Someone said one time, I had to give him a one, he deserved a three. One means immediately promotable. I said, well, if he deserves a three, why did you give him a one? He gets the numbers. I said, well, isn't that good? He said, yeah, but it's the way he does it. I mean, he has so alienated so many people. We've lost so many people. And he's nothing but a source of problems and troubles everywhere he goes. But he knows how to get the numbers. And I said, well, I'll bet I can guess what you've tried to do. I bet you have talked to him about it. And maybe when you're really upset, shoot him out a little. And I bet you tried to get him psyched. And I bet you got him assigned to some training program or something of this nature. But what happened? Nothing. Maybe for a day or two, a little shaping up. But he falls back to his preferred style. Right? He said, exactly. Well, what can you do? You see, he's worked at the personal level, the interpersonal level. He's trying to work at the managerial level, not the organizational level. You're dealing with an ecology. You're dealing with an interrelated reality that's very complex. I said, well, if you work at all four levels and at the organizational level, develop an information system which gives data on those people he interfaces with, other departments, the people who report to him, the people to whom he reports, customers if he relates to them, internal customers, see, anyone, so that they share their feelings, their feedback, their perceptions. And that data is gathered systematically, carefully, scientifically, not anecdotally. Anecdotal means mother-in-law research, a little information here. Someone said this. No, it's not solid, it's not dependable, it's incomplete, it is not respected, but scientific gathering, perhaps in anonymous ways, data from all people. Let that be part of it. Then say that one-third of the evaluation or the promotion opportunity or the salary, whatever, comes from that kind of data having to do with people. We call these stakeholder information systems, and two-thirds from financial accounting. Now, what do you think will happen? Well, it speaks his language, the language of his wallet. It attaches into him. Why? Because that's what's important to him. He's out there making money. If he wants to make money, he's got to do a number of other things. If he's not willing to do those other things and he gets this data and it hurts his wallet, he may select himself out of that culture, or he may do the interior work necessary to accommodate that new reality. But that will shape him up relatively fast because it works at all four levels.
But you neglect the organizational level. You neglect the kind of information that is gathered because it only focuses upon things and not people. And your information system is the basis on which reward systems are established. Then you have set into operation a dynamic right from the organizational end that will have a negative repercussion on the managerial, the trust level, and the personal level. Any comments, questions on this concept of it versus people paradigm?
I was just thinking along the lines of your information system, that if you don't do some maintenance today on your assets, you can still get high production, but the asset is going into decline. And if you're not measuring the productivity capability in some way, the people, the machines, and so on, you have no way of knowing that your business is actually going down the drain because the productivity, the getting the numbers, is still up there.
Information system is just absolutely incomplete, and it's short-term. And you put hard data and short-term against soft data and long-term, this is going to run over every time. And it will cause organizations to develop a bottom-line mentality around the quarterly, say, financial statement or the quarterly dividend. And that mentality will tend to drive itself all the way through to where they neglect all of those key factors that cannot be measured, like research and development, like real top quality programs, like people development, like second mile service, which cannot be easily measured, and which do not immediately reflect themselves in the bottom line, in the eggs, see, and the goose gets sicker and sicker. And yet you look at the financial statement and everything looks better and better. It's very incomplete. That's why I'm suggesting in all sincerity that the foundation of the other three management styles is a thing paradigm. And that the principle-centered leadership is a people paradigm. It's based on the fact that people are programmers. I also suggest it's the best definition of leadership and management. You manage things. You lead people. Efficiency is the value with things. Effectiveness is the value with people. Control is the value with things. Empowerment, in other words, releasing their energy toward commonly accepted desired results and purposes, that is empowerment, see? It's release plus commitment equals empowerment. That is leadership. And if you confuse one with the other, it's analogous to playing tennis with the golf club. You can do it, but barely. And you can only do it as well as your competitors are doing it in dumber ways than you. You get a competitor that's smart and starts working on a higher level of thinking, a different paradigm, you can't compete. So, I really suggest, I want you to challenge me or question about that, because we're looking at the people versus it paradigm. Yeah.
There's another comment on the systems, the information systems. I'd even argue or take exception with the financial systems, financial accounting systems being that hard and that objective. You look at a break-even analysis and it's based on forecasted cost and forecasted sales. After that, it's pretty precise. I mean, still very subjective. Yet that's presented with the appearance of hard objectivity.
As the saying goes, July belongs to the operators, but December belongs to the accountants. Yeah, anyone who's studied financial accounting and understands its basic assumptive base, its philosophical underpinnings, anyone knows that it's very subjective. And in the last analysis, all the data is subjective. You gather data from customers' opinions, it's their subjective opinion, see, that you're gathering from. The customer buys a product at this price because this price represents what the customer considers a value that's worth that price. That is subjective. But the whole concept of the research is that you gather enough subjective opinions so it's not anecdotal mother-in-law research, but thorough and complete, good sampling, see, so that you have a good scientific model there operating. You gather enough of subjective, now you've got something that can be depended upon, that is objective, and I totally agree. They both can have the same appearance of objectivity and precision, but in fact, at bottom, they are subjective. However, if you have enough of it, you can rely upon it, and you can consider it an objective. One of the problems, however, with stakeholder information systems is that very few organizations have done it carefully and systematically, and they haven't tied it into a problem-solving paradigm, which again, I suggest, it comes from a thing mentality. Here's the traditional problem-solving approach. Gather data, diagnose data, think through where you want to go, your objectives, evaluate alternatives that might reach those objectives, select one of them, set up a plan of action to implement it, study the results against the objective, which takes you back to gathering data, diagnosing data. Now that paradigm is deeply built into organizations. Everyone is used to it. In fact, it's the paradigm of all problem solving in all professions. Where are we? Where do we want to go? How are we going to get there? Did we get there? How do we know we're going to arrive? Did we arrive? If we didn't, where are we? Where do we want to go? See, it's just the... But now, study the use of stakeholder information systems. Gather data. All right? Occasionally, they'll go into diagnosing a little. Some will go a little further into action planning around it. But it's not built into the culture. Consequently, what happens when you gather data? You arouse expectations that people do matter, that their opinions are considered. Then when you don't complete the problem-solving process, your disillusionment sets in, you have cynicism, and you've set your operation back. So you can see that one paradigm fits into another. See, if you don't have a problem-solving paradigm, if you don't have an information system getting paradigm, if you don't have a communication paradigm, in a sense, we need to have some ecosystem that unifies all paradigms in a very, very simple way. I suggest the development of this corporate mission statement or this organizational or family corporate constitution represents such an opportunity. And that once that compass is deeply planted in the hearts and minds of people and in the culture, then it will do the work. And everyone will begin to operate out of that way of thinking. See, I've been into this for many years now, and my guess is that as we interact together, you'll notice that when you ask a question or make a point, I come totally out of that paradigm so that I will give an answer that attempts to reflect the total ecology. Even though I may not understand it perfectly or apply it perfectly, I am attempting to answer in terms of an ecosystem, an ecology, a total package. That's the power of this principle-centered leadership. Now let me illustrate, take these four levels, the personal, the interpersonal, the managerial, and the organizational, and develop with you, slowly, a paradigm, a way of thinking, a map that is holistic, and based on an ecosystem and a people concept rather than a thing. We've talked already about the four levels, haven't we? The personal level can be called self. Here is the paradigm in the center. The personal level is the self. The relationship between the personal and the interpersonal level is the relationship between self and other people. The third level, the managerial level, involves a style. What is the style? We've gone through four management styles, haven't we? And each style has a set of skills which expresses that style. If you're into a control style based on a thing paradigm, what are your skills? Dictator-oriented? Control? Delegate? How do you delegate?
Gopher.
Okay, more of a gopher delegation, less of a complete delegation. Follow up. What kind of information? You want to see what's happening on result, see? What kind of carrot and sticking? Or what kind of reward? Even if you embrace three of the principles. That is fairness, kindness, the use and development of talent. You embrace all three. That embodies certain skills. How do you use people's talents? You've got to get involved with them and to ask questions and to listen to them carefully and synergize in hammering out a common accepted project or strategy. This is the managerial style. What about the organizational style or the organizational characteristics? First of all, the organization has to have some kind of plan to serve its customers, its marketplace. We'll call that the streams, the streams. Three kinds of streams. I'm assuming that this is an internal organization, like a department or a division. The first stream would be called the company itself, the organization itself, the realities inside the organization. That's the environment in which that work group, that department, or that division is operating. See what I mean? That's the environment. That's the first stream. The next stream is the market forces. And all of the forces in the industry that impinge upon that market. The third one are the forces in society. Social, cultural, political, international politics, and so forth. That is the environment in which this organization operates. Streams. Okay? You need to have a strategy that serves the stream. That's usually called the business plan. What is your distinctive competency? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses and limitations? And you carefully think through, what's our position? What kind of a market are we going to go after? What's going to be our unique posturing on the product itself or the services? What do we want to be known for? That's our strategy, see? And that itself comes out of a sense of vision and these principles we're talking about, which we could call the mission statement. So that the strategic path flows out of the vision, the mission, but also reflects the reality out there in the stream, in the environment. Now, how do you organize? That's called structure. For instance, what is the chain of command? What is the line of authority? Is it a hierarchical? Is it a flat organization? Is it a matrix organization? How do you organize yourself? That's structure. What are systems? Systems would be analogous to the blood supply inside the body. Be analogous to communication, reinforcement, nutrients, see? The reward system, the information system, the recruiting system, the selection system, the training and development system, the problem-solving systems. How do you set up budgets? How do you compare realities against those budgets? How do you solve the differences? What are the systems? What are the day-to-day processes and practices? That whole business we'll call systems.